blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. And I'm not sure if that phrase was in circulation during the time that Matthew wrote his gospel. But I'm sure not. How else do you think you could explain the opening of his book? He clearly was not aiming for any bestseller list. And he had to know that any movie that would be produced would have cut that entire portion of Scripture out. It's just a list of names. It's a genealogy, a family tree from Abraham all the way to Jesus. So why did he include it? And how many of you have actually read it? Many times we kind of skip over that page and continue on with the gospel. And so the question then is why? Why did he start with it? What was so important that he thought this would be his best foot forward? Now, to answer that, you have to know a little bit about who Matthew was. You see, before meeting Jesus, this guy was in a tough spot in his life. He had very few friends because he was a tax collector. And so on one side, he had the Jews who despised him because he would take their money, collecting it for Rome, also collecting extra for himself. And on the other side, he had the Roman soldiers who didn't like the Jews, but knew they had to use these tax collectors to get that money. And back in that day, you really couldn't get much lower than a tax collector. In fact, Matthew himself even records Jesus affirming this in his gospel. At one point, Jesus is recorded teaching the crowd how to confront someone who sins against you. And Jesus provides this escalation path of sorts. And he ends this way. He says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So Matthew, yes, Matthew was despised. He was not very high on the ladder in society. So why did he write this genealogy? You see, it was because of his standing in the community. It was because he was hated by the world. You see, that's why he had to start the way he did. It was that important to the message that he was recording that he wanted everyone to know. He knew that there were people like him in the world, that there would always be people like him in the world. They might not be tax collectors, but they would be just as bad, just as sinful. Just like him, they needed to hear that message of forgiveness and hope. And so Matthew starts with the most powerful statement he can make. And he screaming from this list is that message. God has come. Jesus has come through sinners for sinners. And Matthew knew that his only hope for salvation, his only hope for self-worth and any kind of identity would have to be found in Jesus, because it could not be found anywhere else. Society despised him. The world hated him. He could never redeem himself. There's nothing he could do to fix the situation that he was in. You see, all hope was lost. His standing before men, his standing before the Jewish community. But what about his standing before God? You see, if Jesus couldn't save him, if Jesus wouldn't save him, if Jesus came from this royal bloodline or through perfect people, then all hope was lost for Matthew. And all hope was lost for the rest of the world's sinners. But you see, here's the thing. Matthew knew that hope wasn't lost for him. He followed Jesus through his ministry to the cross, past the cross to the resurrection. He knew who Jesus was. And he held firm to the promise of salvation that Christ won on that cross. Through faith, he knew that he was saved and that there was a place for him in heaven. And if he could be saved, a tax collector, if he could receive that hope and that assurance, then it was a message. It was a gospel that absolutely had to be proclaimed. And it had to start with the ending. Jesus came through sinners for sinners. There could be no other starting point than that. And so he starts with Abraham. Now this man was righteous before God. He was chosen by God to be the father of all Christ's people. But as we walk through those names, we find that many of them could not stand as tall as Abraham. We read about Rahab. She was not even part of the nation of Israel. She was a woman, and at that time had no real standing in society. She was a prostitute. So why would he include her? Why would he put her name in that list? You see, it's because it destroyed any argument that the Pharisees or any Christian could have about self-righteousness. What could they say about being saved? How could they argue that Christ was only for the Jews? They couldn't. Christ came for all people. And these men and these women, they were far from sinless, far from blameless, far from deserving to be included in Jesus' lineage. But there they were. And there we are. And there Matthew is. And there's people like that, like us, in that lineage. But Matthew knew even more than that. We read tonight the opening of his gospel. But if we flip to the end of his book, here's the last sentence. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, Matthew writes these bookmarks, or these bookends, to give us hope, to bring that hope to the hopeless, to bring freedom to the enslaved. You see, he opened and he closed his message this way because he was one of those sinners that needed to hear that message of salvation. Jesus came to rescue the troubled, to heal the injured, and to find the lost. Jesus came for Matthew, and he came for us. Now, don't miss this next point. Matthew, in his gospel, draws this line from the ancient past, from Abraham, all the way to his time. And then, with the last sentence in that book, he attaches us to that story. And he continues the line through us and into the future. We are part of this story. You see, Jesus came through sinners in the past, for sinners in the present, and sinners in the future. God came through these sinners to save us. We are part of God's story of salvation. And our baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus connects us to that story. Make no mistake, the meaning that Matthew found in Christ is offered to you, and it's offered to you, and it's offered to me. That same forgiveness of sins that Jesus bestowed on Matthew is offered to us. And every time we gather around the table of God, every time we partake in the Lord's Supper, we are assured once again that we are part of this story, that we are the sinners that Jesus came for. How awesome is that? Would you pray with me? Lord, you have come to us through a lineage of sinners, a line that extends past the opening pages of Matthew to include all your church for all time. Through our baptism and your death and resurrection, we are included in that lineage and active in that story that started in Genesis, continued on to Christmas, to your crucifixion, on to Easter, and now anticipates its final chapter at the end of the age. Lord, we thank you for your gracious work of salvation and look forward to the day when we will be in your presence for all eternity. In your name we pray. Amen.